Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Your first mission is to keep yourself happy.
It's living for self that is so exhausting and frustrating because you were made to live for Him. So when you begin to please Him, you begin to thrive. It's not a burden. It's not a duty. It's a joy. I come alive. This is what I was made for.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It's time.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
DeVille is here!
Ooh!
This is Wretched Radio. You see wretched things. I know you do because you're on social media. Would you please send it to us here at Wretched, idea at wretched.org. Would you like to offer a correction? Jimmy needs those. Please send those. By the way, Jimmy.
Yes.
You know, when you went, here's a correction for you. Okay. I heard from Gabe Poirot.
Oh, yeah. You heard from him?
Yeah, I heard. I did. He said that you got it wrong, Jimmy.
What? I got it wrong.
He goes to Mountain Something Church in somewhere.
Oh, yeah. That's what I said. He doesn't even go to church. Well, I'm sorry. I got it wrong. You're right.
You asked AI where he goes to church, and apparently that was pretty dated. He hasn't gone there for a bit. So currently he's attending which church?
The church of no one.
Yeah. So looking for, well, it's hard to find a good church in a metropolis like Dallas-Fort Worth, don't you know?
Yeah.
Except for all of the good churches I personally know of in Dallas-Fort Worth. And please send corrections. Jimmy needs them or whatever you want to 877-282-2337.
All right. We're going to start with I'm interested to hear how you answer this question. Todd, this is from Anonymous. If I could convince an atheist to read the Bible, which book of the Bible should I recommend they read first?
It's kind of hard to go.
Slash don't.
I mean, okay. So Jimmy, I'm going to suggest a book. Go ahead then. Tell me I'm wrong.
Okay.
Matthew.
Yeah.
So you can't.
Yeah.
Romans. See, the only reason that Romans is kind of hard because it is probably the densest theological letter that we have. I think Ephesians is shorter and it's easier to get, especially the first several chapters, I think are super helpful. I think people can get that a whole lot betterer. I don't think that you can pick a wrong book in the Bible, to be honest, because people have been... Phil Johnson got saved reading 1 Corinthians. Okay, wouldn't have picked that myself, but that's what God used. Okay, I remember that Jeff Allen, the comedian, he gave his testimony and he talked about just being totally down and out, doing drugs. His career was totally flatlined. Every wife is leaving him. Basically, everything's been repossessed. And he's sitting there wondering what to do with life. He goes to the kitchen cabinet, opens up the junk drawer, and there's a cassette that a buddy had given to him. And it was titled Ecclesiasticus. So he just puts it into the boom box and he begins reading Vanity, Vanity, All Is Vanity. And he goes, that book gets me. And it led to his salvation.
That's the book I would recommend to an atheist.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I'm not going to argue with
well,
you.
Well, I mean, because, I mean, think about it. That's true. Solomon is asking questions that they're already asking and thinking.
Yeah, but see, I think we immediately with a question like that, we think, which one is going to give them the clearest understanding of the gospel? Well, Ecclesiastes could cause them to go, whoa.
But that's
my life is a bummer without God. That's not a bad thing.
But I think they come to the end of Ecclesiastes and that's when you handle Matthew.
Yeah. Okay. I do believe the question was one book, Jimmy.
Okay.
One book.
All right.
Changing the rules. 877-282-2337.
All right. This is from Anonymous. This is a three-part question, but it's all wrapped up into one.
Do I need to take notes?
Maybe. Maybe. He says...
You know what I'll write it on, Jimmy?
What's that?
my notice that says no retreat, advancing the gospel together. April through May 2026, a spring matching gift campaign for Fortis Institute.
We have one of those.
Which one? A matching gift campaign? I'm just reading the details. Let me read the deets here. Matching every gift given during the spring campaign is matched dollar for dollar. Blah, blah, blah. Together, there's no retreat. Stand with the mission. Advance the gospel without retreat. Join the spring matching gift campaign. I guess FortisInstitute.org/donate. I guess I could write it on here.
Okay. Yeah. All right. You do that. All right. He says that I'm a young man who desires to enter vocational ministry. However, I struggle with same-sex attraction. I praise God for his sanctifying grace in me, but the temptation is still present. My questions to you are, number one, is same-sex attraction in itself disqualifying for ministry? Number two, is same-sex attraction inherently sinful? I fully recognize it's contrary to the nature stated in Romans. And number three, where do I draw the line between what's sinful and not regarding the temptations if I can't control what tempts me?
Mm. And this is a young man?
Yes.
Correct?
Uh-huh.
This is what I'd like to start with and end with. You would do well to sit at the feet of your pastor, elders in your church for a long season. This is something that you need guidance on. It's something that you need a lot of help on. And I think it should be something where before entering into vocational ministry that you would have to show a great deal of mastery over. Can we say that that particular sin would disqualify you? No more than any other sin would disqualify you, unless, of course, you don't have that sin under control. It's simply not something that you can be losing to even on occasion. It needs to be something where you have demonstrated this sin is mortified. Now, that does raise questions about the issue of temptation. There is a line, but we also need to understand that temptations that are inside of us and lurking, yes, they can be sinful. It's what you do with them. I think, in fact, was it the Puritan? Yeah, it was like Watson or Boston that we read, I think maybe a week or two ago. The temptation that flares up in your brain, whatever the temptation is, that's on Satan. What you do with it, that's going to be, if you will, on you. If you just like, nope, go away, done, then you haven't sinned. You were tempted and you resisted temptation. If you are entertaining that, as soon as you start entertaining it, you are off to the sin races. So you need to recognize that I don't think that anybody should, and again, it doesn't matter what the sin is, just because something pops in doesn't mean immediately that you're sinning. It means that you need to reject it, that you need to resist it immediately. Now, I believe that the question was, is same-sex attraction in and of itself sinful? That I would answer definitively, oh, absolutely. Of course it is. Just like murderous ideations, or thoughts about molesting somebody. Those are simply sinful inclinations that need to be mortified. I think what was the name of the organization? I believe they were a group of Presbyterians. Revoice.
Oh, yeah.
That was kind of the big debate. You can have those attractions, you just can't act on them. No, you can't have those attractions. Now, this fellow writing in would say, but they happen. Again, it's finding that line between those things happening and acting on those things. So I think I hit all three of those points. Jimmy, is there anything that you would add to that?
There's a lot there to.
Well, there was.
Yeah, so I.
Does it automatically disqualify you? No.
No.
Are same-sex attraction sinful? Yes. Where is the line of temptation when you start acting on it?
That's exactly right. That's what I would say. I mean, Martin Luther said that He said, I can't control what tempts me. And he's right. You can't control what tempts you. Martin Luther said that you can't stop birds from flying over your head, but you can't stop them from
making a nest in your head.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Yep. So, no, that's good stuff. Now, let me end where we began. That's why, young man, I would encourage you, get yourself into a discipleship relationship with an older godly man. And if you're thinking about going into ministry, is it vocation? Is that even a word that is necessary? I think you're going into ministry.
That's right.
Then I think you would do well to make sure that it is somebody who is in ministry. And if I had to, you know, how long do you need to show victory over this sin? It ain't a short season. It's not a short season. And any more than it would be for any other sin. If somebody said, look, I love lying, but I want to go into ministry. Does that sin disqualify me? Well, not necessarily it could. What are you doing with that sin? And when was the last time that you told a lie? When was the last time that you felt like deceiving or actually went about the business of tricking somebody with your words? So I think the same thing is true with your sexual attraction. Got to get that under control. And the length and the duration of that, I would leave up to an older, godly man. Want to add to that? 877-282-2337. This is Wretched Radio.
Most men don't make one big decision that takes them off course. No, it happens gradually. And eventually you look up and you realize, I've been coasting for years. Well, Dr. Adam Tyson has created Walk Like a Man. It's available now on Fortis Plus. Dr. Tyson knows that's the story for way too many guys right now. And so he gets into God's Word and he lays out what it actually looks like to walk with wisdom and live with real conviction. Download the Fortis Plus app right now, wherever you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just go to fortisplus.org.
The hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu.
All things
go wretched.
No retreat. That's the name of Fortis Institute's Spring Match Campaign, and we chose that name for a reason. The church has been quietly backing up for years. Fortis Institute is determined to push the other direction, to encourage churches to proclaim the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ rightly and loudly. That's why we're inviting you to join us on the No Retreat Spring Match Campaign. Right now, through the end of May, every dollar you give is matched, dollar for dollar. You can find out more right now at
fortis.org/donate.
Be honest, when's the last time you shared the gospel with a stranger? Not posted something online, not liked a Christian meme, but actually opened your mouth and told someone about Jesus. Most Christians would rather do almost anything than evangelize. It's terrifying. Our resource, Terrified Too, it exists because Jesus gave us the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion, and He actually gave us the tools to obey it. Terrified Too, it is streaming right now for free on Fortis Plus. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. If you're a man, you're trying to figure out what it actually means to be one. Scripture is not confused. God has a lot to say about what it means to be a man, and Dr. Adam Tyson unpacks that every week on Way of Manhood. If you've ever been impacted by this ministry, would you prayerfully consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner today? All you have to do is go to fortisinstitute.org right now to find out what it would look like in your life to do just that. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. Well, you can't judge me. It's the verse people quote when they don't want to be corrected, even people who've never opened a Bible. But here's the question. Is that actually what Scripture teaches? Or have we been misreading one of the most misunderstood commands in the entire Bible? Thou Shalt Judge is a 13-lesson series with Todd Friel and Justin Peters that sets the record straight. Streaming free on Fortis Plus right now. Download the app where you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org.
Important dates in Christian history. 529 AD. Benedict of Nursia establishes his monastic order outside of Rome. His written code of conduct, called the Benedictine Rule, becomes the most influential guide for centuries of monasticism in the West. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Resources, get your resources. Well, this one you got to get somewhere else. This is Wretched Radio. We have resources here. We just give everything away at FortisPlus.org. Those are not the resources about which I am going to speak. Instead, Christopher Yawn, Y-A-U-N. Sounds like... He's written two books on the subject of same-sex attraction. Jimmy, I think the first one was like a bio.
Yeah, it's his story, his testimony out of a far country.
All right. And the second book that he wrote is?
Holy Sexuality and the Gospel.
That's the one that I think where he really drills into the issue. It was the Revoice issue that came up a few years ago. Same-sex attraction. Is it innately sinful? I believe Christopher Yawn would say yes, and here's how you go about the business of dealing with it. Revoice said, no problem, just don't act on it. Well, no, we wouldn't say that about any other sin. You know, I've got a desire to beat up small children, and I really like those desires, and those desires are fine. I'm just not going to do it. You'd go, hold on, first of all, that doesn't make sense. Second of all, no. Same thing is true with same-sex attraction. Everything I've heard about Christopher Yawn has been positive. So I think that that would be a reliable resource for you if and you are struggling with the issue of same-sex attraction, especially the young man who wrote in with 3 points. Three? But was that, that couldn't have been a text.
It was a text.
Well, you must have had to be like swiping and swiping and swiping to read that.
No.
All right. Well... If you'd be so kind, you can send up to 3 points. But no, here's why you can't send more than 3 points. You can't do it because on my piece of paper that reminds me to remind you, No Retreat Advancing the Gospel, our spring matching gift campaign, which you can participate in at fortisinstitute.org/donate. I don't have the room for it. So you got to keep it to just 3 points if you'd be so kind. See what I did right there? 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Dan. He emailed in, Todd, this morning my 7-year-old asked me when he could be baptized. And while that's every Christian parent like myself, that's what we want to hear. But if I'm being honest, my concern is that he's too young and may not fully understand what it means.
Oh, man. How many, every parent who's been in that situation and they are legion would say, oh, I feel you, bro. I think if you would ask Justin Peters, I think he's up to 45 years old. You can't baptize them till they're 45. I think that's where Justin is at. I don't think we should put a number on it. Why? You've got maturation issues. Furthermore, I do believe that we've seen credible testimonies of people who have been saved at a younger age. It can happen. But the concern of the parent is, well, what if? Because we also know that children, for the most part, are compliant, especially regarding religious indoctrination. They kind of go along with mom and dad. They sing the songs. They'll even memorize Bible verses. But that doesn't mean that they're saved. So I wouldn't say that they couldn't be saved. And I would also say you don't want to block the jacuzzi either. You don't want them to rush into the waters of baptism, but you don't want to keep them out of them either. So what do I recommend to this dad? I can't tell you, do it yes, do it no, because I don't know the boy. I don't know the testimony, but I would suggest in the context of your local church, would you please enlist the help of others who observe your son? Talk to the Sunday school teacher. How does he behave? If he goes to a different school, talk to the teachers. Have you noticed a change in my son? Because what you are looking for, I believe, when it comes to helping to see if somebody's testimony is credible, is new fruit, not fruit, new fruit. Because kids, they've got fruit. They've got certain propensities that can be quite wonderful. For instance, you've got a child who's really, they love to share. They're always sharing. They say, hey, mom and dad, I got saved. I want to get baptized. And you go to look for fruit and you see that they're sharing. Well, that ain't new. They're doing what they've done. You want to look for something different. They used to want to punch their sibling in the nose. Maybe they even did it regularly, but they've stopped. Now you're talking. Look for new fruit. They used to sass mouth mom and dad. Now they're showing respect. Look for new fruit in keeping with repentance. Enlist others and just exercise wisdom. Jimmy, I can tell.
No, I was just going to add.
You're leaning in.
I was just going to add to what you were saying. Watch them for a time. You were given the sass mouth, and I would add to that, watch how they respond to correction.
Good.
Are they, when they sin and get caught, is there sorrow, or are they just, you know, scared of the consequences?
Or mad at you for catching them.
Right. That's a good indication, especially when a kid's 7 years old.
I would add this, though, just to make sure that nobody hears, so they've got to be perfect? No, not saying that. You're just looking for new fruit. You're looking for new attitudes. Not perfection, but they're aimed in a new direction. And I think the best way to go about affirming or keeping them back for a season is by enlisting the help of those in your local church who get to observe your child alongside of you. 877-282-2337.
This is from Jonathan. Todd, I hear people use God's name in vain fairly often. Mm-hmm. What should I say to someone misusing his name? Should I say anything at all?
Depends on the setting, depends on the person, depends on the time. Just wisdom. There's this huge, I don't want to call it a junk drawer in Christendom because it seems to minimize its importance. Wisdom. This is a wisdom issue. Do you need to call out somebody every single time? I don't think so. And should you never call them out? I don't think so. I think wisdom needs to be employed. And I think the opportunity needs to be considered. Is this appropriate timing? And I think the biggest issue in this is, why do you want to correct them? What's the point? If it's just because it bugs you, it's probably not going to be super fruitful. But if it's because it's a demonstration that somebody is at war with God, then you want to help them, not keep piling up more sins and potentially even lead them to the one that they've been insulting who is willing to forgive them, then you can approach them on it. But if it's just because, hey, what if I use that? What's your God? What if I said that about you? Well, it's really not going to be super productive or helpful. Now, let's just turn up the heat on this one. That person is your boss. Would that play into it? I think it could, but I don't think that it should. I think the same criteria that you use to talk to just a coworker would apply to your boss, just because they might have the authority to fire you. If you've determined this is the right thing to do, I do need to bring this up to this person because you've determined the importance of it, then I don't think that should keep you from doing it just because it's somebody who can give you a pink slip. Consider your motives, consider the opportunity, consider your agenda, and then use wisdom and send stuff to idea@wretched.org.
I would add to that. Of course you would, Jimmy. I would say consider the person too. I think you did say that. But if they're a believer, I think you do address it.
Oh, that's a good point. Okay, see, I was thinking just a pagan.
Yeah, I mean, but if they're a believer, I think.
Oh, sure.
You say that's the name of our king, man. Like, you don't use it like that.
And it could be just that quick.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be I need to meet you for lunch.
But what you said, if it's an unbeliever, what are you trying to accomplish? Because honestly, at the end of the day, You're asking somebody to honor a God they don't know. So you just got to take into account the entire situation. How close are they with you? How much time are you going to spend with them? What?
Just give me a moment. Just give me a moment. This is not going to be easy. Good point, Jimmy. Good point. Let's just move on now. Make the distinction between unbeliever and believer. That's an excellent point. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Pete. Todd, I know being involved in your local church is very important, and I try to be involved in mine. What are your thoughts on emergency response and law enforcement jobs, which don't always allow you to be at church every Sunday morning?
Define don't always. Can your career sometimes take you away and it be a valid reason to not be there on a Sunday morning? I think so. I think that there are, sometimes it can be circumstances, but it needs to not be a persistent and consistent thing. If you've got a job that always demands you are elsewhere on Sunday, I think that you need to start looking for another opportunity, because you can't have an ongoing neglect of the assembling of the saints. That's to your detriment, and it's sinning. But can you sometimes, because of, like, if you're an emergency responder and somebody needs you, I don't think the Lord is going to be displeased with you that you, first of all, you were responsible for your job and your calling, but that you went to help somebody. I think of it a couple of different scenarios. Number one, it's 1802 and it snows heavily. You live in the Midwest, it snows heavily and you can't get to church. Are you sinning? No, the wagon can't get through. Second scenario, you're a pregnant woman. It's Sunday morning, you're driving to church, you go to labor, you go to the emergency room. Are you sinning? No, you're not. These are exceptions, but nevertheless, I think that there can be some valid exceptions if you're concerned about, is this one valid or not? Guess what you need to do? You need to employ the wisdom of your local church. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.